Florida's symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
This is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be discussing a TNA main event from 15 years ago. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm doing great, man, and it's always good to see you. And speaking of seeing you, I'm seeing you all over social media because you, my friend, were just on Joe Rogan this past week.
Yes, so I was. Isn't that crazy?
It is. And I always love how I find this shit out on the back end. Hey,
I didn't tell you.
I know. I'm like, everybody's like, yo, Kurt Angle's on Joe Rogan. I'm like, oh, Kurt Angle is. Oh,
you know,
cool.
What happened, to be honest with you?
Yeah.
This weekend, they call me and they're like, hey, we want you to come down. And I literally like went down the next day, filmed it, and then came back.
It all happened that
really fast.
Yeah. So it was it because, hey, the Peacock documentary and all that, or just, hey, you we'd love what? To have you.
I believe someone told him about the documentary, okay. And he always wanted to interview me. So this was an opportunity for me. So I decided just, yeah, I'm going to go down and do it. This is Joe Rogan. He's the number one.
Hell yeah.
In the world. Yeah.
So when you talked to him, and you just said it, he's the number one podcast in the world. Were you able to share with him the number two podcast in the world, yes, the Kurt Angle Show?
Yes, I was. I told him about the Kurt Angle Show. He started laughing at me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Especially, yeah, I'm sure.
He's like, you're not even in my league, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good, man. I'm so happy for you. It got a lot of traction. Like I said, I had people texting me about it, and they're like, Kurt's on Joe Rogan. People at work, they were like, hey, I heard your guy Kurt Angle was on Joe Rogan. So
you're like, he didn't tell me, that bastard.
No, I had found out by then. But man, I'm happy for you. Big platform, like you said, number one podcast. And so very happy for you, dude. Listen, not only that, Joe Rogan, but you made a comeback this week, and I'm talking about with your football picks, because Kurt,
yes,
you were 0-2 to start the year. 0-2, goose egg and 2 Jones over there, to steal a line from Taz. But you went 2-0 in week 2. Kansas City defeated the Jaguars. The Steelers, thanks to their defense, defeated
the offense was crap.
Yeah, complete horseshit. But they defeat the Browns, so you're at 2-2 now. So we're going to keep this going, as I've told folks. And we said, hey, we're going to do some sports a little bit at the top of the show. So once again, here we are. We're sitting at week 3. And as this drops on the main feed, we are at the Sunday morning of week 3. So here we go. One angle lock and one angle upset. Kurt, are you ready to make your picks for this week?
All right. You're going to kill me.
If you do this to me again, I swear to God.
I'm going to go with the 49ers. Okay, because they're my team. They're kicking ass this year.
So 49ers over. So listen, by the time we're recording prior to this, that's a Thursday night game. So just so everyone knows, we're recording the Wednesday night before this Thursday game. That's important to share.
Okay.
Yeah, so 49ers over the Giants, because I got to make sure that people will be like, of course you picked them and they won, you know? All right, 49ers over the Giants, and who's your second pick?
The Steelers. I gotta go with the Steelers. Okay, I know they're the underdog, but they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're my team. I have to go for them.
I swear on all things that are good and holy, on sweet baby Jesus, Kurt, you are going to continue to ride the Steelers thing. Now, listen, I won't give you too much shit this week, because you are 1-1 now on the Steelers. But yes, I'm telling you, if you start losing again with you picking them, man, we're going to have to make some kind of agreement here, pal. They're going into Las Vegas. Duh. They're going into Las Vegas on Sunday Night Football at 8:20. And hopefully they can pull, the offense at least, can pull their heads out of their asses, and we can see a good game.
Now, are they a heavy underdog?
I didn't even look at the spread. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I'm sure they are. They're going into Las Vegas.
Las Vegas has a good team. So
yeah, so. All right. Well, there it is. Kurt's going 49ers, and that's his lock pick against the Giants. That's a Thursday night game, so you guys will already know what have happened at that point. And then he's picking the Steelers again, our Steelers, against the Raiders.
Steelers. Go Steelers. Black and gold, baby.
All right, there we go. Kurt, before we dig into the show, one more item to address this week. I got the opportunity, and I don't know if you know this or not, you and I guess we don't talk to each other, apparently. Our folks in the, that no, listen...
We just talk on the podcast.
Yeah, they're starting to figure out that you and I really aren't friends. It's all bullshit. but that I also now, a few weeks ago, got the opportunity and am now hosting a show with Kevin Sullivan behind the ad-free show paywall.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Paul, congratulations, you two-timer.
Yeah, I mean, it just because, you know, people think I'm bored, I guess. They think I put on my thumb.
Like you don't have a job.
No, yeah. But hey, listen, I love it. Hey, Kevin, yeah. Hey,
you're going to have to quit your job. If you get another podcast, a third one, you're going to have to quit.
Well, maybe if these shits started paying well, I would. But listen, Kevin Sullivan, okay, 50 years in the wrestling business, Kurt. He tells me stories from the 70s when he wrestled in the WWWF. Did I throw too many W's in there? But it was the three W's in the F.
That's 50 years ago.
Yeah. And so he was in there with guys like, you know, Bruno, and he tag team with Haystacks Calhoun. I don't even know if you heard of that guy. That guy was as big as a barn. I think they buried him in a piano. A piano box. He was so massive. But anyway, he's done it all. He's the booker for WCW. He has a weekly show called Tuesday with the Taskmaster. And the cool thing about him, Kurt, is he still watches current product. And he.
Oh, good. So he's up to date.
And, buddy, we get into current wrestling storylines on WWE, AEW, all over. And I say, okay, what do you think about Cody Rhodes? And what do you think about this storyline? I'll say, pick up the pencil again and act like you're booking and tell me what you would do.
That's great.
So it's fun. So we actually have a clip because I want to play it because this show is exclusively behind the ad-free show paywall. And so this is our way to just kind of advertise this show real quick. Sure. So we're going to do that real quick. Here we go.
He needs to win the belt, but he needs to do what his father did. If he's playing his father's story, his father put the heels over first, dumped all the heat, all the adversity. I mean, then he beat Brock with a broken arm. I think they're doing it perfectly. And now I think if they go to WrestleMania 40,
okay.
It's time.
But listen, and that's what, when all the stuff, when we recorded that was prior to The Rock coming out. And now The Rock's coming out and teasing, and he was on SmackDown, and now it could be Rock.
Yes. Yeah, it could be Rock. You know what? I tell you this, Kevin Sullivan was a year late because I picked Cody last year.
You did. His whole point is they need to continue to build that story, just like the American Dream, right?
Putting the heels over, and
that's right. That's right.
The WrestleMania and get all the heat on the heels.
So
and then win.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kevin, listen, guys. Kevin's awesome. He has a great mind
for the business, man. Yes.
Very friendly. He talks to me. He wants to, you know. He's like, when you come out west, we're gonna go out to eat. I'm like, man, I wish Kurt was this nice. And I'm kidding. But listen, you guys can catch it every Tuesday. It's Tuesday with the Taskmaster. That's the title of the show. Adfreeshows.com. Plus, you guys know thousands of other bonus content out there. Kurt and I do bonus shows, and there's a special offer right now. New subscribers save 20% off their first month by going to adfree20.com. That's 20% off, Kurt. 1 month, that first month at adfree20.com. You're going to get this content plus everything else that we have over there. So please jump in, take advantage
of it.
Good
deal, man.
It is. Sometimes I still feel like it's a secret in the wrestling business, and ad-free shows should not be. There's just so much great content. We've been a part of the network for several years, and we love meeting everyone over there. You know them by their first name. So it's a really great community, and check it out, adfree20.com. All right. So let's get into our topic this week. We're kicking it off with a gold medal challenge between you and AJ Styles. We're talking everything No Surrender 2008. So you have this challenge between you and AJ on Impact. You're wrestling a ton during this era, Kurt, on TV for TNA. Was that something creative thought was important for ratings? I got to assume so. They wanted you on TV every chance they had, right?
okay, you know what? When I signed a deal, I signed a big ass deal, a lot of money. Okay, so there was no way that I was going to be sitting at home. I was going to be at every event, every show, and I was going to main event just about every one of them too. I mean, when you're the name and the face of the company, you got to step up, man. They were paying me a lot of money to do that, and I had to do it.
Well, and I love your attitude too, because it's not like, hey, you guys are wearing me out. It's, hey, you paid me a lot of money. I'll wrestle whenever you need me to.
I signed a contract, and I was obligated to do that, and that's what I did.
I feel like I ask this every other week. Well, not the last three, because we had guests back to back to back. And last week we had, your buddy that was on, Roland. Yeah, and that was a lot of fun. Got some good feedback there. He checked in with mom before he did anything in life. We learned that. But I got to ask you.
I'm sorry, Rulon. It's just funny.
Yeah. He admitted it. It was a great interview, man. Great
story.
It was
great. He's awesome.
Yeah. He is. But I got to ask you, this is 15 years ago, 2008. How was your body? Because, again, every impact, every pay-per-view, you're the man.
My body wasn't bad at this point in time. I mean, I was never 100% healthy, but I was always able to work around injuries, and I didn't have a lot of major injuries at this time. I think my neck was a little messed up, too bad, but it was bothering me a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah, and it's part of the storyline that your neck is bothering you, but the Main Event Mafia, they're beginning to form around you here. Sting is on your side, it seems like. Booker's on your side. And an Olympic challenge where there's no ropes, three rounds, every point counts. So talk to me, was this your idea? Whose idea is this?
It was mine and AJ's. And the reason why is AJ told me that he was a state champion wrestler in high school. I was like, oh, you were a state champion wrestler, so you know how to wrestle. He said, yes, I do. And you know what? He was right. He did know how to wrestle. We set up this match where we had three rounds, like three periods, like wrestling. And we took the ropes down and we wrestled. And I thought it was different. I wouldn't say it was the greatest match in the world, but it was pretty good. And I thought it was different.
Was it challenging for you two to figure out kind of how you would put on something like that in a wrestling world?
It's a little harder than putting together a pro wrestling match. I mean,
sure.
You have to remember, when you wrestle amateur wrestling, you go by instinct. You don't think about what you do. You go by reaction. But here, you have to remember what you're doing, and you're doing amateur wrestling moves, and your memory is telling you what to do back to back rather than instinct. So it's a little harder to do, but we were able to pull it off.
Yeah. Just so that you guys are familiar with this, the points are two for a takedown and a near fall, and the winner wins on most points or pinfall three count. And you've talked before about, Kurt, how much you've enjoyed working with AJ over the years. But, man, this is a different type of situation. And AJ, he's all in on this too, I'm assuming?
Yeah. You know what? He stepped up, man. I mean, you know, this kid is so athletic. He can make anybody look good. You know, he can make a broomstick look good. So, AJ, I knew I wouldn't have a problem with him.
All right. So we have some feedback on what the writer at the Torch thought here. AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle, gold medal challenge. The ropes were down and the ref asked for a pre-match handshake. Styles offered and Angle pulled his hand away and did the up yours arm gesture. AJ, I know how that feels. I get one of those at the end of every recording each week. Angle scored 2 points early with a single leg takedown. Angle continued to rack up points. We've heard that before. Getting a 6-0 lead at 90 seconds in. Angle laughed and got cocky, showboating as Styles tried to get takedowns on him. Styles managed to get a 2 count on a victory roll in the second round, scoring 2 points for the takedown and 2 points for the near fall. Styles smiled broadly. I love the description here. Angle got serious again. Angle scored another 2 points to expand his lead to 8-4. He slapped at Styles' head afterwards. I got to stop here, Kurt. Any reservations in looking silly in an Olympic style match here with AJ?
You know what? We were just doing what we could do, man. I don't know how it looked. I actually never watched it before. So I have no idea how it came out, but I thought we did pretty good.
You're lucky we don't have a clip. And for those that like, the clips, so many clips in the show, we only have one this week, but it's 18 minutes long because we're going to watch the main event together at No Surrender.
Yes.
But we'll talk through some of that. We go on here. Styles again scored a leveraged near fall for another 4 points to tie at 8-8 at the end of the period two. About 30 seconds in, Angle took a cheap shot with a back elbow and then took Styles down to score 2 points. That gave him a 10-8 lead with a minute left. Styles suplexes Angle, but the ref gets knocked down in the process. Angle clotheslines Styles with 15 seconds left in the round. The lights go out, and when they come back on, Kurt Angle has a baseball bat in his hand. This is the shit you weren't allowed to do in amateur wrestling, Kurt.
Oh, you're exactly right, man.
You weren't pulling out baseball bats.
Down, though.
Yeah. Lights go out again, and Double J, Jeff Jarrett's music plays. And when they come back on, Styles was standing behind Angle with the guitar. Styles smashes the guitar over Angle's head. Angle bleeds from the forehead immediately afterwards. He then covered Angle and scored a 3 count despite the time of the round having run out minutes earlier. Winner, Styles, in quotes, apparently. Let's talk about the guitar shot, Kurt. We've seen a lot of Jeff Jarrett guitar shots over the years. How bad do they really hurt?
They don't hurt, but they always make you bleed.
They look like they do, though.
They don't. It's really not that hard of a shot, but it's just the wood just
splinters.
You know, it splinters, and it just digs into your head, and you end up with horrible cuts. I mean, I probably had about 5 stitches on my head after that night.
That's what I was going to ask. So that was the hard way.
Yeah, that was the hard way.
Kurt, I want to ask, were they real gold medals or was that just?
No, they weren't. I would never bring my gold medals to a TNA main event.
Okay. Well, there you go, Derek Sabato. They weren't real gold medals. So the announcers never mentioned Double J's name. This is some stupid shit. I mean, does it make the announcers look silly by not even saying Jeff Jarrett's name here?
A little bit. And I think the reason why was this wasn't Jeff's real return. Mm. It was going to happen the following week. And I don't think they wanted to mention Jeff. They were kind of hinting that he was going to come back by AJ having the chair or the guitar.
Yeah.
But it was crazy as they played his music though.
Yeah. So, weird. I mean,
they basically ruined his return the week before by doing this.
I know sometimes we're a little thick-headed as wrestling fans, but I mean, give us some credit here. You played his music, for God's sake. We're not that dumb.
Yeah. I think they didn't mention Jeff Jarrett because they wanted his real return to be next week.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The crack staff just forgot that they hit the play button on the music maybe by accident. Well, listen, the next week on Impact, Jeremy Borash interviews you as you arrive in the parking garage, and you're going to get your gold medal back, and it's Planet Angle now. I always liked that name, Kurt. Do you like Planet Angle?
It's catchy.
Okay. Maybe we should do some
Kurt Angle.
I don't know. Maybe we should do some Planet Angle shirts now over at the Kurt Angle show. What do you think?
Hey, they're always trying to make something at the Kurt Angle show.
It could have you holding the globe in your hands, and we'll just call it Planet Angle.
Planet Angle.
I like it.
Carrying the globe on my hands.
You got the whole world. There you go. Styles would be introduced as an Olympic gold medalist and challenges you to a ladder match with the medals above the ring. Kurt, we talked about it. Your neck's bothering you a little bit. You ready for another ladder match here with AJ?
What's ridiculous is that an Olympic gold medalist is going to wrestle in a ladder match. That's what's ridiculous.
Exactly.
But you know what? I hate ladder matches.
I know. Come on.
I'll
bring
do
it.
Them, but I hate them. I like straight up wrestling matches. I just think that you do a lot of stupid shit when you get ladders involved. And a lot of guys get hurt that way.
Yeah, we've seen it over the years. And it's not that you're afraid of heights, though, because I've seen you moonsault off cages.
Yeah, just, you know, I carrying a weapon. I even thought that, listen, the booking in TNA was a little subpar. They have a baseball bat and then AJ have a guitar. What were they for? Was it to represent Sting and Jeff Jarrett? Like, we're having an Olympic wrestling match. And we're bringing bats and guitars into it. It was just pointless.
Lay it in, Kurt. Lay it in. And that's exactly right, because to me, the spectacle is this match that we've not seen before.
Yeah, right. That is the spectacle. But they made it into, hey, let's get a Sting a little rub and Jeff Jarrett a little rub in this match. And I'm not sure why.
And bring some weapons in and only play his music, but don't say his name. And we're off to the races here at No Surrender as we head into No Surrender. Everyone knows working out is full of positives, sleeping better, looking better, and just feeling better. But you know, the reality is getting started and sticking to a program are two of the biggest obstacles to exercising. But now you can easily create a dynamic, personalized routine to your equipment and goals, all with the Fitbod app. With the Fitbod app, you can set goals and check your progress. But maybe most importantly, the Fitbod keeps you motivated to keep working towards those goals. And of course, the app makes planning workouts easy. Now Fitbod's algorithm will actually change and update your fitness plan as you go. So if you feel like you've plateaued, or maybe you're not making enough progress, well, Fitbod's app will adjust all that for you. How about that? You just add in your equipment, you pick a fitness goal, and Fitbod will create a routine for you. Whether you've been missing gym time, or maybe you've hit that point too, well, a fresh start has never been easier, and the app switches up your exercises to avoid overtraining or burnout, which I love. And of course, your program changes based on your personal progress as well. We want to maximize your results, and that's what Fitbod is all about. By the way, a full year of Fitbod is less than the cost of a single session with a personal trainer. How about that? So join Fitbod today and learn new movements the right way with over 1,000 exercise demonstration videos. They're going to show you how to do it. It's never been easier to get the results you've always wanted. Check out Fitbod and get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at our link in the description below or go to fitbod.me/angle. That's the link in the description or fitbod.me/angle. That's fitbod.me/angle.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So from the torch again, Borash told Kurt Angle as he approached Booker T's locker room to be sure to show respect for his locker room. Angle complained about not having a special locker room, then entered. Angle asked Booker for a favor. He said, there's a sting operation going on between them. Booker said, I thought Sting was on our side. Angle said he meant a sting operation with a guitar showing up, not the man Sting. Booker said he still has a bump on his head from the guitar at Hard Justice. Angle asked Booker to be in his corner later for the ladder match in case a certain person or the guitar shows up. Don't want to say his name. Booker said he could help him, but he has his own problems with one rhinoceros. He asked for them to have some champagne in anticipation of his victory later tonight. Angle said he doesn't drink. Booker said, then more for me, my friend. How great is Booker in this role, Kurt? I mean, do you think anyone else could have pulled this off? He's awesome.
The accent? Oh yeah. He was priceless. I mean, he was hilarious. So funny. We were laughing after the pre-tapes. Like, he would do the shit, and then when we'd say cut, everybody would start laughing because Booker was so damn funny. I mean, you couldn't keep a straight face.
Oh, I bet. You know what? We're going to have to figure out one day to have Booker on our show and just relive some of the stuff. Play some clips. Yeah.
I never thought of it, but yeah, he'll do it.
And play some of these clips of him and you and the Main Event Mafia stuff and just have a good time with him. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So here you go. You're going to take on AJ Styles. We got the ladder match for the medal. And this is, again, from the torch. Ladder match for the metal. Styles went after Angle early, but Angle used an eye rake to stop his momentum. Styles came back quickly. Samoa Joe watched from ringside. Angle hit an overhead belly to belly. At 2 minutes, they had a tug of war with the ladder at ringside. Angle shoved Styles into the railing. Styles slingshot himself onto Angle at ringside. Booker T was watching at ringside also. And as they cut to a break, Charmel joins them. Wes said to stay tuned because you don't know what's going to happen. As if Styles versus Angle in a ladder match for the gold medal wasn't enough, they add Joe, Booker, and now Charmel to the mix in an attempt to keep everyone tuned in. Talk about not trusting the wrestlers to tell their story. this is all from the torch.
You know what? I'll tell you why they did this. They thought to make the match more important, to have important people come out and make it more of a spectacle by them being out near the ring. I thought it was pointless, to be honest with you. We didn't need all those guys out there.
Let me repeat. This is a ladder match with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles. What am I missing here, Kurt?
I don't know, man.
Star ladder.
The creator of this was missing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Missing a little bit of something. And just too many people.
I don't want to pick on anybody.
Well, we're not.
This is ridiculous.
No names, but someone was just not getting it done, okay? And they were not using their noggin, the common sense that we call it, when you already have Angle and AJ mother freaking Styles in the ring with a ladder. I mean, that is money. You're printing money. That's like some people pick that.
AJ in a ladder match? Gosh, man.
That's like video game. People pick that match right now in today's world for a video game match, okay? Yep. All right, I'm done my rant. Angle used a drop toe hold to send Styles into a ladder on the mat. Booker cheers on Angle. Angle suplexed Styles, then set up a ladder. Wes said that time to set up a ladder gives AJ time to recover. Styles did, but Angle quickly suplexed him and then applied a chin lock. Joe cheers on Styles and told him how to defend against that hold. Psst, hey, just in case you don't know, AJ, this is how you defend against that. He told him to work his hands under his chin. Styles wouldn't know that. This is commentary from the PW Torch. I like the idea, but the advice seems a bit obvious. This is a comedy show, man.
Come on, give them a break, man.
Jeez. I know, man. Hey, I want to stop here, Kurt, and mention the fact that Mike Tenay and Don West were both recently announced to be joining the Impact Hall of Fame. We know Don has passed, but man, how cool is it that both of these guys are going to be recognized in the Impact Hall of Fame?
It's awesome. They were the voices of TNA for so many years. I absolutely love those guys. I thought, you know, they were just as good. I hate to say this, but they were just as good as JR and Jerry the King at one point in time. I mean, they were just as effective. I thought they were great. They were awesome.
Don West brought so much energy. And so did Tenay, but Don had that hot flavor, right?
It's very loud.
And then and then you think about Mike Tenay. I mean, the professor. He knows the holds.
Yeah. He was smooth.
Fantastic combination. We go back to the torch. Styles soon made a comeback, throws Angle into the ladder at 10 minutes. Angle bled from his forehead again. Man, you're getting kind of cracked open here and there in these matches.
I think my stitches popped open again.
Okay. Styles climbs the ladder. Angle gave Styles an Olympic slam off the ladder. With Styles down, Angle climbs the ladder. Once he touched the metal, Styles tipped the ladder over and Angle crashed in the mat. So let's pause right here. This is the part where you're like, shit, I don't want to be doing these ladder matches. Now they're, you know, they're tossing you off of them.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is the last thing I want to do in a match is fall off the ladder and land on my head.
Right, because all you need is another broken freaking neck. So there you go. You crashed to the mat. Charmel yanks on Styles' legs, but he kicks her off and springboarded into the ring with a flying forearm. Joe goes after Booker at ringside. Charmel sets the black bat on the ring apron for Booker to use as Joe turns to her. Booker hits Joe with the bat. Styles, meanwhile, climbs the ladder, but the ladder was wobbly and unstable. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Angle met him at the top of the wobbly ladder. The man who shall not be named's music plays. Okay, I think we figured out who that is. The lights go out. Don West says, "Is he here? Could it be?" Styles bashed Angle with a guitar and then grabbed the metal chair, the gold medal, should I say, to win the match. Winner, AJ Styles in 12 minutes. Star rating, 2.75. Torch says
that's
some good.
That's low for Angle and AJ.
Yeah, in a ladder match, 2.75. Who's booking this? Some good sequences and big spots. It's the type of match that deserves to be an occasional pay-per-view match, not a TV main event that won't draw any more of a rating than anything else they could have hyped adequately, minus the ladder. I mean, Kurt, my goodness, all these big spots, all these bumps, this couldn't have been fun for you.
No, it wasn't. And I just don't know why they didn't trust AJ and I to have a straight-up ladder match without anybody involved. I just thought the booking was subpar at this point in time.
You think about,
I think they were thinking too much.
here's the point I want to make here. We are looking back on your career, and you just said at the beginning of the show, Paul, I signed a contract, so I'm showing up every night, every impact, every pay-per-view, and I'm going to wrestle to earn the money. But they're putting you in ladder matches. You're getting busted open. You're falling from the top of the ladder to the mat. You're getting hit in the head with, you know, gimmicked guitars that still cut you open. I mean, do you think, like, all this stuff, you wonder why the wear and tear affected you over time. But as we go back and look at your career, you start to put it together. Yeah.
You know what? I look it back. You know, I'll be honest with you. When they were booking these matches, I never thought about the guys that were going to come out the end and kind of, you know, add to the match or take away from the match and all that stuff. I just, like, I didn't really look at it till I stepped out of the ring and retired and looked back and said, gosh, man, that booking was not good. I don't know why they did this, why they did that. It's just, you know, you when you step away from it and you look back in, you say, man, there's some stupid shit they did here.
You know? Well, not only that, you were going so hard and so fast for so long, and it's no wonder the toll that it took on your body over time.
Well, that's just how I am, and that's how I was always gonna be. I mean, you can't change a person with their work ethic. I've always had incredible work ethic, and I was always gonna give everything I had every match.
Well, Kurt, we covered some of this build for the Birth of the Main Event Mafia episode, so go back, check it out, KurtAngleTV.com. It's in the archives. And I bring up Kevin Nash here, Kurt. You wrestled him on Impact here. What are some of your favorite memories of wrestling Kevin Nash?
Oh, Kev was a great big guy. I really enjoyed working with him. I didn't work with him quite a bit, not that much. And you know, you have to remember, at one point, you know, Kevin had bad knees. Okay.
Yeah.
And for him to be able to do what he did with those bad knees, it was pretty remarkable. I mean, he is an incredible athlete for his size.
He is. He could move, and gotta love Big Sexy, but also such a mind for the business.
Very good. Very good mind for the business.
Yeah.
He's always smart about that. Everything he did, you had to have a reason for doing what you were going to do in your match. Okay. Everything had to make sense with Kevin. Okay, you had to have incredible psychology if you wanted to have a match with him.
There you go. Well, listen, Kurt, this is the build to No Surrender and the four-way to glory, where three people are going to take on Samoa Joe for the TNA title, and the winner's going to move on to Bound for Glory as the champion. And we're going to see Abyss and Matt Morgan team up and take on you and Booker. Do you need to be working in more tag and multi-man matches for your body's sake here? Or I guess, like you said, it was whatever they wanted me to do. I'm just going to do it, Paul.
Yes. And, you know, WWE, you know, when I got injured and I was hurt, they would book me in tag matches quite a bit at house shows, live events. Impact Wrestling, they didn't do it so much. They probably should have done it more than they did, but I never asked for it. But I think, you know, as a booker, you should know, okay, Kurt's a little banged up. We need to put him in some tag matches for a little while. So I think it's really the booker's responsibility. And it's not me to have to speak up and say, hey, I'm hurt. Hey, you know, I'm hurt. You know, put me in some tag matches. I think it's really up to the booker to do that. And that's his responsibility.
Two guys I want to talk to you about before we continue to move on. And one is Matt Morgan. I mean, don't you think TNA had something bigger in Matt Morgan?
Yes. The kid had so much talent. I wrestled him at Bound for Glory 1 year. And I know Meltzer will never give me a 5-star, but that was about as close to a 5-star match as you can get. I mean, we pulled it off, and Matt showed me how much talent he had. I really think that TNA could have done a lot more with Matt Morgan. Yes.
I also want to ask you your thoughts about Abyss.
Oh, he speaks for himself. He had an awesome career. He had an incredible career. I thought he relied too much on hardcore stuff because the kid could wrestle. Like really wrestle. And he didn't need to do all that stuff, but his character was a monster. And you know, that portrayed that he had to do some, physical stuff with weapons and stuff. But as a wrestler, he was really, really good.
I believe he's still working for WWE at this point behind the scenes.
Yes, he is. He's a producer and he's kicking ass, man. He's really good at his job.
Yeah.
He really is. Yeah.
Another mind for the business. There you go.
Great mind.
Yep. Also being built up was Frank Trigg, Kurt, in an MMA match against AJ Styles. And so I want to get your opinion here. What'd you think of Frank coming into Russell and his work with AJ?
I thought he did good. I mean, at least it was an MMA style match. I don't think Frank Trigg was really ready to do a pro wrestling match. And unfortunately, Frank didn't really train for a pro wrestling match. It was more MMA style. But I think that Frank could have transferred over pretty well. He just never made that commitment.
Yeah. So my next question was, do you think he could have been a full-time wrestler? But you just answered it there saying if he committed. Could have,
but he never made the commitment. Yeah, I think if he would have told Dixie Carter, listen, I really want to do this. I want to train. Bring me to Nashville. Let me train for a couple months. Get ready. I think he could have done it.
Well, Kurt, we're going to go ahead and launch the match. Please check us out on YouTube, guys, because you get to watch it filter free just along with Kurt and I. And by the way, you can stream all these Impact great events at impactwrestling.com/packages and use code Kurt. Kurt says it almost every other show. That's where he spent the bulk of his wrestling career here in TNA. So you want to watch Kurt and Samoa Joe, Kurt and AJ Styles, Kurt and Matt Morgan, Kurt and Abyss, Kurt and Kurt, you know, Kurt against everybody.
Hey, Jeff Jarrett,
Jesus. James Storm. I mean, we can go down, you know, Bobby Roode, all here on the Impact Wrestling app. So check it out. And we're going to watch No Surrender, Kurt. We'll listen to it at the beginning. And then you and I are going to delve into some stuff about the match. We're going to ask some fan questions and we'll go from there. So Kurt, if you're ready, we're going to check out the main event. You ready to do this?
I'm ready to go, brother.
All right, here we go. Let's check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is scheduled for one fall and is for the TNA Heavyweight Championship of the World. When the bell rings, the man in charge, Mr. Earl Hebner.
Why are they booing Earl?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from the General Motors Center in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, that's why.
It's time for your No Surrender main event of the evening.
Canada.
What's that? Canada. Yeah, Canada. Yeah, that's why he got the reception.
Montreal screw job.
Yep, here we go. Christian, still doing
27
it.
27 pounds and comes to us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the instant classic, Christian Cage. And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing challenger number two. He comes to us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, weighing in at 232 pounds. He is professional wrestling's only Olympic gold medalist. This is Kurt Angle. And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing, standing in the corner to my left. He weighed in this morning at 282 pounds and comes to us from the Isle of Samoa. He is the current reigning and defending TNA Heavyweight Champion of the World, the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe.
I love the instant classic moniker that Christian Cage has here. I mean, that's just cool. The instant classic. I love it. And I thought that's really fun. You don't get quite the reception here.
I don't know. I guess I was a heel, huh?
Yeah. You're a heel. There's no doubt main event mafia and everything going on there. But listen, let's get into this. As you guys start to kick off the match, I want to share some things with our audience. The main event was scheduled as a four-way with Booker T, but due to Hurricane Ike shutting down the Houston airport, Booker couldn't get there for the show. And even though Sting was there as a suitable suitable replacement, they decided against using him because it would take away from Bound for Glory. Because Kurt eventually, and those that follow TNA, Samoa Joe, obviously, he's going to win this match. I don't think I'm spoiling anything. And he's going to go on to take Sting on at Bound for Glory. But it had been announced earlier in the pay-per-view, but it was never announced to the live crowd for some reason, which led to We Want Booker chants when the main event starts. Kevin Nash, who did promotional work for the show and would have been a good storyline replacement, was not flown in, although the reality is he probably would have hurt the main event. Okay, this is the torch, not me, which is, I don't need Kevin Nash coming at me, which on this show wouldn't have been a positive. So, Kurt, at what point in this show do you hear Booker's not making it?
Oh, we heard late in the afternoon, and it was like, oh, shit, you know, that's a big that sucks because Booker's a big name and he's very talented. But to be honest with you, we were kind of somewhat relieved because it's a little easier to do a triple threat than a four-way. The four-way is really, really hard to do because, you know, triple threats, you rotate. You know, you have two guys in there. One guy bumps the other guy. That guy goes out. The other guy comes in, attacks the other guy. They go at it for a little bit. Then you keep rotating in and out. And with a four-way, it's just really hard.
And that's exactly what's happening right here, right? You're gone. You've already been, you know.
I'm down taking a rest. I'm selling while these two are going at it. And eventually I'll come in once somebody gets bumped.
So in your mind, you think, hey, this probably worked out for the best in terms of just the match itself.
Well, the match structure, yes, it worked out better. But not having Booker T there, that sucks. It really does because Booker's a big name.
Especially when the fans are all hyped up for it, right?
It was advertised. I
mean, and they don't announce it to the crowd. So, of course, they're going to chant, where's Booker? We want Booker.
They thought everybody's going to forget that Booker was in the match.
They actually watched the product, guys. They paid money to come see the pay-per-view. Don't you think they watched Impact all along the way?
I know, really.
Oh, Kurt, what's happening? All right, so we go back to the torch here while we watch Samoa Joe and Christian battle it out here in the ring. By the way, both these guys, Kurt, still getting it done in AEW.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, Christian started in with me. You know, we started at the same time in WWE.
And Samoa Joe now is involved in an angle with, you know, MJF. We're recording this right before, and I'm not getting, you know, able to watch AEW's doing their big show in New York tonight at Arthur Ashe. I'll watch it later, but it's going to be Samoa Joe and MJF. So it doesn't get any bigger than that, fighting for the world title.
MJF's still a champion?
He's still the world champion, yes, sir. And so Samoa Joe is taking him on.
Yeah.
And here we are 15 years ago watching, you know, these two guys.
That's crazy.
Isn't it something? It's pretty cool, actually. So Samoa Joe, by the way, again, no spoiler here. He retains the TNA title in a three-way beating Christian Cage and Kurt Angle. This match goes 15-27. You have entered the match now, Kurt. You're doing your suplex machine thing, and you had the ankle lock there. Christian kicks you off, but it's now you and Christian. Here you go, suplex out of the ring. What a bump by Christian, Kurt. Oh,
ugly bump.
That was ugly. He looks like he literally hurt himself. That's the beauty of watching this. You don't know if something's real or not. Just by,
and then, I know.
Look, right down.
It hard, man, the hard way. He did not land on his feet first. He landed right on his side.
That is a serious bump. So there you go. Sting comes out before the match, and Joe left the ring and attacks him. Styles comes out and breaks it up. Joe and Christian did the Fry Takayama brawl early. Angle suplex Christian over the top rope, which we just saw. Angle later gives Joe a German suplex and follows it up with a belly-to-belly superplex on Christian. At one point, Angle's going to have the ankle lock on both guys at the same time until they simultaneously kick you off. So, Kurt, we're going to see that spot here. That's going to be fun to see. By the way, very cool slinglet that you're rocking here. Very patriotic.
It is. It's very American. I'm glad I wore it in Canada since they booed me.
That's probably why they booed the shit out of you. And and knowing you, that slinglet is somewhere given away in an auction or donated to a charity, right?
Yes, sir. I gave away everything.
And your wife is screaming in the background once again.
She hates my guts for it.
Yeah. I don't blame her. And you're rocking the white, what are those, white wrestling shoes or sneakers?
Yeah, they're actually gym sneakers. They're high top.
Okay. So yeah, you were really investing a lot in your gear here. That's cool. So here we go. We're going to see that ankle lock spot here in a second. You have Joe here in a headlock. But
hey, so let me tell you why I wore the gym sneakers.
Yeah, go for it.
The boots were too heavy, and I didn't like kicking with boots on. It just made your kicks look worse. And when I started wearing lighter shoes like this, my kicks were a lot sharper, a lot quicker. So,
like that kick there.
Well, that's not really a.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you're kicking, you're getting heat on a person in the corner, and you're stomping.
Yeah, stomping a motorhome in their ass. Yeah.
Smart shoes. Yeah.
Nice spot here. Kurt, when they pull you between the legs, wishbone style on the pole, does it really hurt your giblets?
Well, you have to like stick your ass out so you.
Okay.
Your bees don't hit the
so the bizalls don't take the blow, do they?
It hurts regardless, it does.
They rattle the twigs and berries just a little bit. The twig and berries. Okay. I always wondered that. That's always a spot, and you're like, how does that not hurt the jewels?
I know, really. It does. It doesn't matter how you do it. You're going to hurt it a little bit or a lot.
It just bruises the taint a little bit, apparently.
And, yeah, it depends on how lucky you get.
Oh, here we go. Off the rails. We'll continue on with the notes here as we watch a serious wrestling match and Paul's being an asshole. So we have Kurt, serious, and now Christian's biting into Samoa Joe's head like it's an apple. And now beautiful suplex from Kurt. We go back to the torch. It said they started doing finishers and the third guy would continue to save in this match. Christian uses an unprettier on Joe, but Angle pulls Hebner out of the ring. Haven't gotten there yet. Match ended up good, but just felt too similar to so many TNA pay-per-view main events with the ref bump and the ref pulled out spot that they already did earlier in the show. Hebner was knocked down. Angle grabbed the chair, hits Christian, and then hits Joe. He puts the ankle lock on Joe. Then here comes Double J, Jeff Jarrett. He comes out, hits Angle with a guitar shot on the head. With Angle's neck, I don't know if he should be taking those. And that's a great point. We didn't even talk about that. I know you say the guitar's gimmicked and it just cut you up, but with a neck injury, why risk it?
You know what? It's my fault because I'm the one that took it. I agreed to take it. I could have said no, but I didn't. Or I could have put my hands up. It's really my choice. That was my fault.
Kurt, I just wish I knew you back then. I'd be like, buddy, what are you thinking?
You can always say no, Paul.
I wish you would have said
doesn't
no
mean
more.
They're always gonna, you know, be happy about it.
If you would have said no more, you'd be wrestling tonight for AEW. I'm just kidding, guys. Not AEW. I'm just kidding. But you never know, right? If you would have said no more, look at that beautiful suplex. So you're bleeding. You end up bleeding all over the place in this match.
Yeah, I think my stitches cut open. Got open.
Joe's gonna pin you after a muscle buster. They gave it 3.25 stars, and I don't know, man. To his point, we had the ref bump, more referee shenanigans. What do you think about that? Why was that always the play here?
What the?
With the referees, always gimmicking, hitting the
I don't know. You know what? I felt like TNA at the time was more of the Wild Wild West. Every match somewhat might have used the ref bump.
Yes.
We would use it more than once in one night.
What you did here.
It's a no-no. You're supposed to just do it once every show, just one ref bump. We would use it 2-3 times sometimes, all in the same night, which was crazy. It just, the booking wasn't as sharp as it should have been, and that's why.
You needed Kevin Sullivan, the taskmaster.
Kevin Sullivan would have helped.
I got to put him over. Where does this rank, though, when you look at the end of the day in terms of your TNA run? Where do you rank this No Surrender 2008 match as we watch it together? Is this one memorable for you or maybe not so memorable?
No, because I didn't win the title.
Oh, well, there you go. That was easy. And we talked about the guitar shots to the head. Let's talk about Jeff Jarrett's return. We haven't gotten to that yet in the video. Was it too overshadowed here with all this other stuff going on? I mean, they really wanted to make his return a big deal.
Well, you know what? They did it in Canada, and there were a lot of fans there. I don't know how well they did on the ratings, but, I thought that, you know, it wasn't a bad idea to have Jeff come out here that night. I just think there was a lot of shit going on in this match where Jeff should have been showcased just him.
Yes.
That's the way they should have done.
Figure out a way to showcase his comeback as a bigger deal.
Yeah, just
deal.
Him and only him. Yeah.
It seemed like there was a lot of stuff packed in and just like the ladder match.
Paul. Yes.
Just like the ladder match. This is your classic lean back, dry hump suplex move outside of the ring,
which I've never succeeded at ever.
The one with you on Big Show. Oh, that's so good.
Oh God, I know when I'm like sticking my hips into him.
That is insane. Oh man, so good. I'm glad we can look back though and have some humor and have some fun with some of this stuff, you know.
You have to laugh at some of this stuff.
You do. As much as we love pro wrestling, there's humor to be found in it. And as much fun as this was back then, there is some stuff that we just look back now and you just can't help but scratch your head on. You have Samoa Joe here in the angle.
You
know what?
You can nitpick every show.
Yeah.
Any AEW, WWE, TNA.
All of it.
You can nitpick. And you know what? Most shows are really good. It's just, you know, not every show is flawless. That's all.
Well, and two, you can tell wrestling has learned from its past in some ways.
It has. It definitely has. Yes. They know when too much is too much.
Yeah. Booking has kind of gotten a little bit better. Well, in some federations.
A lot better. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, another muscle buster here from Samoa Joe on Christian. Here's the other thing of note that I wanted to bring up while we watch this. Mick Foley would be announced as joining the company. Were you happy to see Mick in TNA?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Mick is not only a great wrestler, and I knew he wasn't going to wrestle much, but he was entertaining and funny as hell. I mean, he was a lot of fun to work with. I knew that, you know, I would be able to have more diversity by having Mick Foley there because I know that we could do some funny stuff. Entertaining stuff.
Yeah. I know what you meant there. But, Kurt, as we continue to watch the ending of this match, we had a couple fan questions that came in, three of them, that I want to go through with you as we continue to watch this. Joe, I think he's going to do a big dive here. Let's take a look. Holy shit, what that guy could do for his size.
I know. He's crazy, man. You know what? I think that he used to be a lucha libre, a small
in his,
guy.
In his first life?
He gained a bunch of weight, and he kept the style.
Lucha libre Joe.
You know how hard that is to do right there?
Kurt. Look at me. Does it look like I've ever... I can't even jump 6 inches off the ground, buddy. I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh, man. That is so impressive. I just can't believe someone like Joe can do that.
I mean, you were doing stuff all like that off the top of the stages and stuff on the people you know, back in the day.
I'll tell you this. Joe's knees were not good either. He had a lot of knee problems, and this didn't help.
That's why it's so impressive. Here we are 15 years later, and he's still doing it.
I know. I can't believe this guy hasn't had his knees replaced yet.
Well, he will at some point in life.
Oh, God, don't say that.
Well, I'm just saying you can't put this much on your joints. I don't care who you are over time and not have to have some type of
repercussion. I know I paid the price. I know that for sure.
Yeah. All right, Kurt, let's get to a couple fan questions while you're trying to not escape the muscle buster here. And you're throwing Joe around like a sack of potatoes. Actually, I want to see what Christian Cage does here because he's perched up on the top rope. And so he misses you, hits Joe, you come at him. Like you said, three-way is so much cleaner than what it would have been.
Yeah, four-way would have been a lot more difficult.
A wrestling historian wants to know, what did you think of Taylor Wilde? Thanks in advance. Taylor Wilde, Kurt.
Taylor Wilde. Is that the female wrestler?
I'm gonna look her up, actually, while we're watching the match here. But
I remember her. I can't put a name and a face together.
Yeah, she was Knockouts champion in 2008, but she was a Canadian wrestler.
I remember her. She was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, she did a really good job. I was impressed by her. Okay. I thought she was a great worker. Especially, our Knockouts division was really good. We had a lot of talented girls.
Absolutely. They just had Impact.
Yes.
They just had Impact 1000, by the way, as you can see below our screen here.
Yeah, Gail Kim was there too.
Gail Kim was there. They brought out all the legends, and I thought it was super cool the way they celebrated the Knockouts division.
Yeah, they did. They did a great job. And you know what? The Knockouts, they actually were the frontier of the women's division getting serious.
Absolutely.
Even more than quicker than WWE did.
Yeah.
Like the Knockouts was when everybody started taking women's wrestling seriously.
They had the beautiful people there, Angelina Love. And okay. That could take a whole nother show to talk about them. Dylan is up next with another question. As we see you take a brutal, I don't care what you say, That looked like a brutal guitar shop, brother.
It's always brutal.
See, now you're saying it's brutal.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You have to do it when your boss gives it to you.
You just take it and say, please, sir, may I have some more? And here you go, muscle buster. And you got the three count. You're bleeding like a stuck pig.
Yep. I probably had to get another set of stitches.
And Samoa Joe is the man. Let's listen to the ending. Let's listen to the ending here.
And as the blood flows down the head of Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett places the title belt on the shoulder of Samoa Joe. And ladies and gentlemen, we now know next month at Bound for Glory, our biggest pay-per-view of the year, Sting versus Samoa Joe for the title.
There it is. Sting, Samoa Joe for the title. Kurt, we're going to wrap up this week with a few final questions. Dylan says, Kurt, your documentary is the best I've ever seen. What an incredible story. So happy for you and your family that you turn things around for yourself, your wife, and your kids. You're not only an Olympic hero, but a hero to many that are dealing with the same things you were, and you're an inspiration. Thank you for everything you've given to us fans and the memories. You're definitely a hero, but you're a legend. And as it goes in the Sandlot, heroes get remembered, but legends never die. And Kurt Angle is forever. Wow. With all that said, a lot of people say 2007 to 2009 was the greatest period of TNA. And some say, nah, it was 2002 to 2005. Did Kurt see any of the earlier TNA stuff? And what's your opinion? Is it 02 to 05 or 07 to 09?
Of course it's 2007 to 2009. That's when I was there.
That's right, buddy. No,
but listen, they had a great run. Those guys, they made a lot of noise. Why do you think I came down there?
True.
I mean, they were making a lot of noise, and it was like, holy crap. I'm wrestling a lot of great guys in WWE, but there are a lot of good guys down in TNA I'd love to get my hands on. And, I, for a couple of years, I debated it, and eventually I ended up going down there. And I went down there in 2006, and I wrestled there for 11 years. I loved every second of it. I really enjoyed wrestling in TNA.
Especially then when you saw the contract and saw not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven zeros. I mean, then you
Yes, that's right. Seven figures. I was good to go, man.
Seven figures, yeah. He's like, I love TNA. Now, it's really cool, man, because you busted your ass there in the company. And we get to watch this, you know, every other week or every third week while we're covering your career. But I just want to mention, Dylan, thank you for those kind words for Kurt.
Thank you so much, Dylan. That means a lot to me. I'm glad that you enjoyed the documentary.
Yeah. Brian Haremza, he says, Sting announced at the start of No Surrender that he would face the champion at Bound for Glory. Since Sting had already had a rivalry started with Joe, do you feel it made the main event kind of predictable, Kurt? Would have you waited to announce Sting as a challenger till after the show?
I think so. I think that, you know, Sting coming out and saying what he said, probably shouldn't have done that.
And until after the show, right?
Yeah. Kept it quiet. Maybe the next episode of TNA Impact. That's where you do it. That's what I think should have been done.
There you go. Agreed. Well, guys, listen, as I said, as you saw on the graphic, you can check out all Kurt's past moments, impactwrestling.com/packages, and sign up with code Kurt. Guys, Impact, not only for what you can see there with Kurt's career, but right now they're putting on some hell of a shows there and some great pay-per-views. And I would really encourage you, if you're not in on that brand, to give them a watch. Check them out. They just celebrated 1,000 episodes. And who knows, man, one day I was sitting there watching this. I'm like, man, Kurt was such a part. And I know you do a lot of stuff for WWE, but one day it would kind of be cool to see just your face, maybe sitting in the crowd or something for an Impact show. Because again, you were so blessed to be a part of that organization for so long. And Kurt, am I getting you fired right now? Is that what's happening?
Nope.
Okay, good. All right. Well, listen.
It might happen.
Wow. There you go. Here you go. And I'm just talking out of my ass.
Throwing it out there. It might happen.
There you go. I love it. Hey, guys, listen. If your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, no better place than to advertise right here than on the Kurt Angle Show. You've heard us do ads for some of the same companies over and over again, and that's because it works. So get on board. Advertisewithangle.com. And you can find out more how you can advertise your product or service on the Kurt Angle Show. We also want to remind you about our social media. specifically YouTube. You got to watch this entire episode filter-free, and you can like, subscribe, and turn on notifications at youtube.com/TheAnglePod. Like this episode. That'll really help us. It helps push out the algorithm that really gets us some more subscribers and followers. So Kurt and I would really appreciate that. We appreciate your support. Kurt, we have a few things to talk about. Number one is Smart Snacks with Physically Fit. Tell us about it.
Smart Snacks Crispy Protein Bites. There's a chicken protein, there's whey protein, and organic plant protein. There are 11 different flavors. They're all incredible. You'll absolutely love them. Go to the website. You can be a lifetime member by signing up and get 20% off for the rest of your life. Or if you want to get your first order 20% off, use the code ANGLEPOD and you'll get 20% off your first order. Go to physicallyfit.com to order them. You're going to absolutely love them. I promise you.
All right, let's talk about some Project One Nutrition cookies and cream protein, baby.
Kurt Angle's cookies and cream protein from Project One Nutrition. Go to projectonenutrition.com to order yours. I guarantee it's the best tasting protein you're going to have. Gain some muscle, lose some fat, use the Kurt Angle cookies and cream protein.
KurtAngleBrand.com, by the way, that's where you're going to find the milk cartons, the cowboy hats, the t-shirts, the birthday cards. Kurt, what are they going to find there?
The whole ball of wax.
The whole ball of wax at the KurtAngleBrand.com. So check it out and get something for the Kurt Angle lover in your life. And we would appreciate it so much. Kurt, before we get out of here this week, I want you to share a little bit about MyBookie. What's that all about?
MyBookie, listen, as a bettor, you demand perfection, and MyBookie delivers. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash out system give you options to bet and win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit, cash out early and place another bet or let it ride for the chance for a bigger payday. Join the MyBookie family for an entire season filled with daily odds boosts, same game parlays, and super contests. They have a cash bonus that lets you deposit and withdraw quickly. Use promo code KurtAngle as a deposit on a deposit of $50 or more, and you can receive up to $200 instantly. Again, use promo code KurtAngle to claim your cash, deposits, and bonuses. You can bet anytime, anywhere at MyBookie.
There you go. Check it out. MyBookie. Use promo code KurtAngle. Guys, listen, this has been another tremendous show. Kurt, thank you so much for doing this with me this week. And you haven't fired me for Joe Rogan. You haven't left me for Chris Van Vliet yet. You're still wanting to show up for me every week. So thank you.
That's right. And I always will show up for you, Paul. You know why?
Why?
Because you always announce the whole ball of wax.
Because I thought you were going to say, because you suck. It's true. It's damn true. Kurt, this was a blast. I love it. On behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. And we'll be back again next week for another episode of The Kurt Angle Show.
Eric Bischoff here again, telling you about our friends over at SaveWithConrad.com. Now, Conrad's always talking about how they are helping homeowners save money, but did you know that Conrad and his team can also help you become a homeowner? They make the home buying process more enjoyable than, I don't know, making out with Stephanie and Linda. Ouch, but don't take my word for it.
I'm Willie Proctor, and I'm from Martinsburg, West Virginia.
I came with Save with Conrad to buy my first home. Is that once I, you know, listened to the podcast, I heard other testimonials and how easy it was. So, and that was the whole process for me here, was wanting for convenience. Oh, it was a pleasure. I mean, it was like working with family. It really was, like, you know, being from West Virginia, you know, it's all about family here. And that's what it was like working with Conrad's team. You know, I worked with Larry, Holly, and Francis. And they were just, it was just like, I thought I was talking to my aunt or, you know, talking to my dad, you know, it was a great experience. Yeah, this is actually the house I grew up in. So that was kind of the whole thing. And my mom was moving to South Carolina, you know, she got stressed out about what to do with the house, how she was going to sell it, get rid of everything. And I thought, you know what, I didn't want to see the house go. But at the same time, I wanted to make the process easy for me and easy for my mom. And working with Larry and the team, they made it easy for both of us. Hi, this is Willie Proctor, and I just bought my first house with SaveWithConrad.com.
And unlike the dirt sheets, we're not making this up. Check out all the 5-star reviews. Go to SaveWithConrad.com and do it today. You'll be grateful you did.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.